And I appreciate you being here. Got a couple of things. Let me get you a scripture here first. And we're going to talk about some things, and we're going to get into some scripture. I really don't have a main scripture tonight, but we have a lot of scripture we're going to get into. So if you'll just kind of be patient with me, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 is where we're going to kind of be our kickoff first. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Want to say pray for our students. We've got several students heading out to college this week, Pensacola Christian College. And see, we've got Dan Riley and Mary LaGore, and then Carrie Russell is going to be joining them now that this year, her first year. We'll miss her violin playing while she's down there, but they'll all be heading out, and as you pray for them as they travel down there and get their studying done. Who else are missing? Eric. Larry. Oh, yeah, Larry. You'll be heading out there again too, aren't you? Very good. Larry Wright. You're going to where? Thursday. All right, very good. And Jonathan, okay, where's Jonathan? He's Shippensburg. All these college kids. But you know, that means there's kids in the church. You hate to see them go. In fact, you do, because they there were a lot of holes in the place around here with them all gone. And so they do a lot of things. They serve while they're in town, and we're going to miss a couple out of the orchestra. So you pray for them. A lot of kids in college, and also. Brother Myers mentioned that school starts tomorrow. Yay! Okay, and so if last year we had some folks who came in during the day around lunchtime, and they monitored the lunch room. They gave the teachers a little chance to a break, you know, just to have a little lunch, and then there were some of them that watched the kids out on the playground, and some came in and. And watch the kindergartners while they took a nap in the afternoon. So this is not a paid thing. This is a volunteer thing. But we had several who were able to do it. Some of their schedules have changed on us, so we're not really going to be able to do a whole lot of that unless we have some folks in here who could help us out this year. So if you're willing to do that, I'm talking about maybe once or twice a week. We have we line up several so that they was cared for. So if you could help us out with that, we would really appreciate that. Again, it's not a lot of, it's no prep thing or anything. Just kind of come in, be with the kids, and help them get clean thing up around the lunchroom. And then again, watch them while they take a nap so somebody's in there. They're not in there all by themselves. So my wife here, Janet, has Dr. Walsh, the administrator, has the sign-up sheet. And so you can see her for that. Let's tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray first. And we're going to kind of, let me read our one verse here, though. We'll read our one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We were called to fellowship with Jesus Christ, our Lord, to have a relationship, to have more than just religion, more than just talk, more than just formality, to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that'll help us get kicked off here, but we've got some things I want us to deal with this evening. So let's pray, and we're going to talk about this. Ready? Basic vessel maintenance. Last week we talked about we're vessels for Jesus. Vessels for Jesus. Be used of Jesus. Tonight, we're going to talk about basic vessel maintenance. And let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you again for the truths that are in it. Thank you for speaking to hearts. And Lord, I pray that we will have open hearts. Lord, we have some things coming up. And not just for this one event, but that event may make lasting changes and impressions upon our people. Maybe change the perspective of some folks about their walk with you and what you've called us to. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll give us your wisdom, your understanding. Again, we ask for your Holy Spirit. May we see your word. Open your word to us as we open our heart to you. And we give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. We're preparing for some revival services coming up the first week of October. Dr. Richard Harper is going to be here. And I mentioned on Wednesday, his wife will be doing some things for the little kids. So bring the little kids too. No reason not for them not to be here. And so we're going to have a great time. Now, this can be effective, or it can just be some meetings. The determining factor is us. I want the Lord to work in our hearts in the meeting, but I also want us to use these meetings to work in the hearts of our family and our friends, our co-workers. The Lord can be ready to work, but we may not give him much to work with. If we're not careful, we may actually hinder the work of God as folks see us and our lives and our testimonies or lack thereof. We must be clean vessels as we are being used by the Master to carry the good news of Jesus. Now, last week we talked about this. We looked how we are vessels for the Master's use. I'm not going to preach at all, but let me remind you, we're chosen vessels. God wants us. He's given us a job. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have the privilege to give somebody else the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes their entire eternity. What a privilege that is. We're chosen vessels, and we're given a purpose. You see, I know that a lot of times we come to Christ, and we're just looking to see what we can get out of it. But see, this is just a small portion of eternity. And the church is here to win the world to Christ. That's why we're here. We're here to make a difference in the lives of people around us. Not just to make their life better, but hopefully that happens, but to change their eternal destination. We are to carry the gospel to the world. Now, in order to do the work of God and not hinder it while we're trying to do it, we need to be clean vessels and available vessels. Bible, we learned last week, there are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor. Vessels of dishonor can do more damage than good when serving up the bread of life. In order to have a vessel of honor, there is a simple maintenance program we can use. If we have the hope of eternal life in us, that's salvation, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which comes with salvation, I think we will seek to purify ourselves even as he is pure. That's what John says. He that has his hope in him shall purify himself even as he is pure. We will want to be clean and ready to be used of God to give an answer for the hope that's within us. Is God really needing all of us to get so fanatical? That's how, you know, we're not careful. That's how we think. Oh, okay, now we're going to have to be fanatical here for a couple of months. You know, did God really need all of us to get fanatical? Well, watch me. First of all, cleanliness is not fanatical. Now I know there's some people who can get kind of OCD about it, and they're cleaning when there's no dirt to clean. But to be clean, it's not being fanatic. In fact, I kind of like it, especially if you're serving me dinner. I like the plates and the silverware and everything to be clean. I don't think it's fanatical. I want to eat off a clean dish every time I eat and drink from a clean cup. I also believe that individual blessings, watch me, will be on the individuals that get serious about what God is doing. But the blessings of the church, listen to me, the blessings of the church as a whole will come up to a level of the composite consecration of the congregation. Let me say that again. The blessings of the church as a whole will come up to a level of the composite consecration of the congregation. In other words, the level of fanaticism of the general congregation. we want to see a lot happen, then a lot of our hearts need to get on board. God blessed Joshua and Caleb. You know the story. They went in and spied out the country. 12 men, 10 came back and said, "Oh, well, it's a great place, but we'll never be able to do it." And Joshua and Caleb said, "Sure we can. God says it's ours." Now, God blessed Joshua and Caleb with long life so that they could see the promised land, while the others never saw the promised land. But Joshua and Caleb had to waste 40 extra years in the wilderness with the rest of the congregation because the faithless outnumbered the faithful by too many. You can have a few folks that are on fire and it'll get a certain amount done. And I think what happens is sometimes people sit around and they don't get involved, and then they watch what happens and it doesn't do a whole lot, and they said, "We'll see." Now, individuals may be getting a big blessing, having a good time. And you say, "I don't get it. I don't get it." No, you're not. You're not getting it. God is going to bless those who come with open hearts to these meetings. The real change in the church, and thus the residual effect on our community, will be determined by how many of the congregation gets on board with this and is faithful. I believe that with all my heart. Let me give you number one. Give you some things to think about. A dirty vessel tends to make other nearby vessels dirty as well. A dirty vessel tends to make other vessels that are nearby dirty as well. I told you last week about the time when Jan and I went out to eat, and she unwrapped, they always bring your silverware all wrapped up in the napkin, and she unwrapped the silverware in the napkin, and the knife was sticking to the napkin. It's supposed to be clean, but it was sticking to the napkin, and there it hung. Now listen, everything else was good, but the knife was dirty. That one knife did make us question everything else and made us slow to accept what they were serving up. But we stayed. But if we had found other things were also dirty, like the table and the plates and the restrooms and the floor, after a while, we most likely would have come to a place where we would have refused everything, even though the actual meal might have been fabulous. But we don't want it because they're serving up on dirty utensils. When we got the dirty knife all rolled up in the napkin and found the knife sticking to the napkin, we didn't want the server to only replace the knife because it was all wrapped up there together. They'd all been wrapped together, and we wanted a complete set. So we knew there had to be no contamination. We're all tools to be used in God's hands. We all make a difference in the final result of what God can do. I'm going to use this kind of a funny term. The corporate righteousness of a church is determined by the personal righteousness of the individuals that make up the church. You follow what I'm saying? Let me say it one more time. The corporate righteousness of a church is determined by the personal righteousness of the individuals that make up the church. Next statement. The effectiveness of a church is greatly affected by the spirituality of its individual members and its representatives. Just having a big church, having a nice facility, and all those things are fine to have, having lots of programs, is not necessarily going to do the job, because that's not the job we're here to do. We're going to transfer the gospel, and the gospel is going to be transferred by the Holy Spirit. We may be the mouthpiece, we may be the vessel, but it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to the heart. The way God uses us or not as a church is affected by the corporate spirituality of the congregation. Let me give you a little, you know the story we talked about not too long ago. Joshua, they went in to take the promised land. And they were told to go in and take Jericho. And he said, now, everything, all the spoil, everything is goody there that's left over, it's the Lord's. Don't you take any of it, leave it there. But we know the story. A fellow by the name of Achan saw some silver and some gold and a Babylonian garment. Now, where in the world he was going to ever wear that thing, I don't know. Everybody's going to know where he got it. Can you see him strutting down the, you know, the campground there of Israel in this Babylonian garment, and they're going to look at him. I don't know why but somehow it caught his eye, and he took it. What did it do? It was called the accursed thing. Now listen, when God blesses a nation, he blesses the corporate spirituality of the nation. Now there were many people who had obeyed the Lord. One person and his family, most likely accomplices, because he hid it in the middle of the tent there somewhere. I mean, can you imagine they rolled over on this thing here, and what in the world's underneath here, Dad? Okay. But the whole group suffered because of his decision. I've heard many testimonies over the years that have said that a church was seeking revival, and they were going on for years and years and called in people and had revival services, and nothing seemed to happen. Nothing seemed to happen. And they were wanting to reach their area for Christ, but the place was just dead. They knew the doctrine. They knew the truth. They were doing what they knew all those kind of things. But there was no hand of God on the situation. Nothing happened until some individuals among the people decided to tend to their personal sins. There was anger, bitterness between a couple people, secret sins that God was not going to bless. They had nothing of the Holy Spirit, power, and grace, just the same old status quo. Mercy drops were falling. What they wanted were the showers of the blessing. We cannot sit on the sidelines and just expect the others to make this happen and then criticize the ineffectiveness afterwards. No matter how much others pray and obey the Lord, the prayerlessness and the disobedience of the rest of us is also going to affect the outcome. It will. I'm not saying God is totally, he's not helpless. I'm just saying we could get a whole lot more done if we all get on board. Corporate spiritual unity can bring the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit into effect. Let me read just a couple things here. If you want to read along, you can. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse number 12. They've just been down to the ascension, and they watched Jesus ascend into the sky after the resurrection. Been on earth about 40 days. Acts chapter 1, verse 12 says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. Jump to chapter 2, verse number 1. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it's been 10 days later now, they were all with one accord in one place. And as Dr. Hudson always said, that doesn't mean they were all in a Honda. They were all in one accord in one place. You know what you say, well, why do you put it in one place? You get a lot of people in one place. Sometimes there's not much of accord. We're all doing our own little thing. Get our own scenario, own agenda. Before long, we're stepping on each other. And we're getting kind of tired of seeing each other. And these people have been together a lot for 10 days. But they were still one accord. Their hearts were the same. And so then suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared in their cloven tongues like a fire that sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And of course, we know what that was all about because there's people there at Pentecost from all over the world, from all these different languages, and they heard them of their language. That's what it was. God used it. Chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Peter preaches, and the people were pricked in their heart. And so to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, this is amazing things going on here. They never thought a few days ago this was going to happen. In fact, 10 days ago, they were going to go hide because they figured they were going to be killed. And now they're out here with boldness, preaching the gospel, and we're going to see that 3,000 people receive Christ as Savior. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I'll tell you what, that's what we're saying right now. That's the message of the church right now. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Man, listen, the things that we used to think were done behind the scenes and once in a while around here and only in certain areas of the worst places in town are now become normal activity. What used to be a mass shooting, you know, was once, you know, the first time you hear such a thing, Columbine, oh my, oh my, and it was. Now it's almost daily. The sexual revolution has just decided that anything goes. Anything goes. They're so mixed up, it's amazing. Did it ever occur to you when somebody, okay, ladies have a difficult time being quote unquote forced to dress feminine. But when a man decides he's going to become a woman, what does he do? He dresses feminine. He grows his hair out long. He starts wearing dresses. We got people who are, you know, heterosexual, and they don't want to be bothered with getting married. But a homosexual says what? They want to fight for the right to get married. In other words, man wants to do what he wants to do, no matter what God says. In fact, if that's what God says he wants, then I want this. Is a very untoward generation. Says we need to save them from this untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Look, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They were able to get along. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, are you getting the connection here? I'm getting the connection that when the people of God get together and they're of one heart and they're of one mind, God works. Now, by the way, which mind? We're supposed to be of one mind. But ye have this mind. You have the mind of Christ. What are we supposed to do? Yield to the mind of Christ. If you yield to the mind of Christ, the next person yields to the mind of Christ, next person yields to the mind of Christ, you realize we're all going to have the same mind. We're going to be in agreement. Things are going to be happening. You know what one of the worst but most common testimonies of churches is this, when I go out and talk, whether it's that bad or not, the people think it is that they can't get along. Churches can't get along. That's what they think. The people are all mad at each other. Split this church and split that church over something that really doesn't matter when we've been in heaven for 30 seconds. Yeah, but it's the principle of the thing. You're not listening to what I'm thinking here. We're not supposed to listen to what anybody thinks. We're supposed to listen to what God's thinking. If we all get together with God, we're going to be all together. Kind of sharing my heart here tonight. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been hanging around the 300 mark in attendance for quite a few years. Sometimes a little above and sometimes a little below. Now, it's not here to get a big number, but there's over 440,000 people in York County. 440,000. There's bound to be more people out here that want to hear the gospel that's just not hearing it, or they're not listening for it, or they've been kind of put off. I mean, is it possible they see our dirty silverware outside of church? I don't know. Or is it we just don't take it? Is it possible that this is all we can do? And I understand that God does all the work, but is this really all the work that God wants to do? I don't think so. Could it be that the corporate spiritual level of our congregation is determining the level of blessing that the Lord's giving us? Are too many of us seeking God on our own terms, obeying when it's no sweat off our backs, and yet doing as we please when we please otherwise? I think if we truly want to see something extraordinary happen through our church, and I think God wants to use this fall revival to do that, we need to make sure there's nothing between us and the Savior holding back the mighty power of God and His blessings. Over the next few weeks, I want to help us make sure we're in good position to see God work us and work through us. Now, I want to give you 3 points here for basic maintenance of the vessel. First question, am I in fellowship with the Lord myself? Am I in fellowship with the Lord Himself? Well, He doesn't hate me. He's not hurting me. So, yeah. Well, so is the guy down the street. We feel like, well, as long as everything is not bad, then I must be good. That's like saying, well, my wife and I haven't had an argument in 3 years. We haven't talked in 3 years either, but we haven't had an argument in 3 years. I heard one guy, he says the key to a happy marriage is to take a vacation every year. I take mine in January and she takes hers in June. Now, I read our verse to start with here, 1 Corinthians 1:9. We're called to have fellowship with Jesus. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we do not have fellowship with Jesus, we've missed our calling. Let me say it again. We talk about being a Christian and talk about what God's going to do in our life, but if we have missed having fellowship with Jesus, we have missed our calling. You can do a lot of work. You can do a lot of things and go through the motions. But we need to have fellowship with Him ourselves. And if you want fellowship with the Lord, I know this is somewhat redundant, but again, the Lord has put this all in line. He knows what He's doing. If you want fellowship with the Lord, you need to be where the Lord is. To be where the Lord is, again, I know this sounds redundant, you must walk where Jesus walks in the light. Ephesians 5:8 says this. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We've got to walk in light. We've got to let the Lord show us what's going on in our life. We cannot say we have fellowship with the Lord and be out of fellowship with your brother or sister in Christ. Well, I just don't like them. Well, we just got a little issue. Get over it. I bet you God could come up with a whole lot more issues to be upset with you over you about. And who are we? I'll be honest with you, there's been some folks who've come through here over the years that just kind of had a cantankerous spirit. And you know, I'll be honest with you, and this is true. Overall, our folks don't hear that stuff. They don't want to hear that stuff. We got a good group of folks here. We really do. And they weren't getting any ears. So they left in a huff. But I hate to say this. As much as you want to try to help them, sometimes they look better going than coming. And I think God has spared us some of that mess. If somebody comes around and they want to bend your ear and gossip about this and that and the other thing, just tell them no, thank you. Change the subject. Be nice to them. You don't say, well, I don't got, no, go to that. Just don't go there. Just don't go there. We don't need to go there. Don't wear your heart and your feelings on a sleeve. Some folks are so easily provoked and offended. Oh, my soul, have you come across some of those sometimes? As if your whole world is determined by what that person thinks of you. Well, so, well, they're wrong. Well, then who cares? Well, they're telling me, God knows the truth. That's part of walking by faith. Fret not. Go back and read Psalm 37 again. Fret not because of evildoers. God will let, listen, your righteous shall shine as the sun. We don't need to get into all that. We need to have fellowship with others. Philippians 2 says this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Well, I don't think we need revival services. I think we're better off without them. Just a lot of bother for a big bunch of nothing. Oh, so we're going to come in and we're going to preach the Word of God. And it's a big bunch of nothing to you. We're going to have the opportunity to bring folks to hear the Word of God. Hear it in such a way that may change their lives. I think, you know, we live in a society that overall is pretty decent, or has been over the years. We don't really see it. We don't really expect anybody to change. It's either like you've already been good, we want you in the church, or you're not so good, we don't want you in the church. You know what I'm saying? We're picking and choosing who. Listen, if you're breathing, you're a good prospect for a church. Church is a hospital, not a museum. To have fellowship with Christ, I need to be willing to suffer with Christ. See, this is getting my vessel ready to be used. Cleans out selfishness. High self-esteem, which the world's trying to give everybody. Philippians 3:7 says this, for what things were gained to me, those I count as loss for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous, which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You want to walk, you want to have a fellowship with Christ? Have a vessel that's ready, being clean? Walk where Jesus walks. And we've been talking about that. Sometimes that path of righteousness goes through the valley of the shadow of death. That's exactly where he wanted us to go. And sometimes that valley of the shadow of death is because there's the fiery darts of the devil being shot at us. But he says, hey, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. See, what, you know what we say? Well, I wouldn't be in this problem if I wasn't walking with Jesus. No, you'd be out there someplace in the briars all by yourself. But Lord has led me through the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I'll fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff are said, don't stay here. And we're going to make it through this little gorge here, this little tight spot, this tough spot. Listen, all we got to do is trust him. And we trust him, we have the shield of faith that is able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. But if I walk out here by myself, I'm on my own, open to whatever pot shot the world wants to shoot at me. We want to be clean vessels to be used of God. We need to walk where he walked. If it means suffering, then we suffer. We don't walk away from it when the times get hard. We stay right there. If it looked easy, we wouldn't get the full effect when he actually brings us through. You know, you get through some spots, you think, man, we just came through there. But here we are. Boy, from the other side, I thought there's no way we're going to squeeze through this little thing and get out the other side. There it is. I glory also in my tribulations, because tribulations work with patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. We've been through the tight times before. He'll get us through the tight times again, because I've already been through the fire once. And by the way, remember last week? We're clay vessels. This treasure is in earthen vessels. That's us. And how do you make an earthen vessel of great worth to be used? It's just dirt with water that you molded into a shape to hold something. It'll fall apart. It'll crumble. But I tell you what keeps it, what tempers it, what makes it fit is when it's put through the fire. Go through the fire with him. Don't walk away from the fire when the fire comes. If the path takes you through the fire, go through the fire, and you'll be a vessel that God can use that won't fall apart in the sun. Or a little water goes into moisture and it crumbles. To have fellowship with Jesus, I must stay clean. My vessel needs to be clean of sin. 1 John 5 says, then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. But we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to be a clean vessel. God can do great things when we are in fellowship with both God and man. Acts 2 said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done. I don't think God's going to be doing, you know, healings and all this kind of stuff. He did that to show who he was, and those were sign gifts to show who he was. Can he do that? Yes, if he wants to. That's not what I'm looking for here. I'll tell you what, we've seen it. We have seen lives that have been changed in this place. Everybody thought there was a lost cause, and with the Holy Spirit's power, they were brought to Christ. They were led in their walk with Him, and now they're living lives that glorify the Lord. We got some in this room right here tonight. Maintenance on our vessel. One is, we got to stay close to the Lord. Stay in fellowship with Him. Number two, second question. Do I stay in the Word on a regular basis? If I want to have a clean vessel, I first of all need to confess my sins and stay close to Him. Stay out of sin. But if I also want to have a clean vessel, I need to be in the Word on a regular basis. Someone asked me the other day, just the other day, what I thought was the percentage of our folks in Lighthouse Baptist Church that read their Bible on a regular basis. Now, I don't know. I said about 20%. But I think that's a whole lot more than a lot of churches. If you take everybody that shows up on Sunday morning, it should be everybody, but you know how it is. We need a daily, even a constant washing of the water of the Word. Psalm 119:9 says this. Again, it's just the way the Lord has put all this together. You're going to recognize this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can he wash the pot that's gotten dirty, gotten out there in the world, gotten things that shouldn't have been in there? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word. And with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Ephesians 5:25. You know this passage, we talk about it. It's not really about the church. We seem like we use it always about the family, which is actually the end of the illustration. But listen, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ loved the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. We're the bride of Christ, and the Word of God is to wash us, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. We want to have a vessel that's clean to be used. We need to have the washing of the water of the Word on a constant basis. Now, we have folks who come by, and he gave me fresh glass and fresh water every service, bless their hearts. Now, what if I walked in here on Wednesday, and this has been sitting there since then, and I could see that it's the old water? It's only a few days. I'm not drinking it. I don't know what all's kind of floating on top of there, what's been in and out of it. You know, just the dust, just being in the world, the dust and the junk. You ever find something that's been sitting there too long with water in it? And I mean, it's actually got a scum on it, and you know. I'm not drinking that stuff. But watch this. Take that same glass. put it underneath the faucet and just let it run and run and overflow and overflow and overflow and overflow, run and run and overflow and overflow. After a while, it's clean enough to drink. God says, you let the water of the word run in you and overflow and overflow and overflow and overflow, overflow. And after a while, it says, you're fit for using. In fact, I've got a big job for you because you're fit to be used. John 17:15, Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He says, I want to have a clean vessel set aside to be used of the Lord. How are we going to have a clean vessel set aside, sanctified? By the washing of the word of truth. Jesus said in John 15, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. On Wednesday nights, we were talking about that of John 8. He said to those who believed, he says, if you continue in my word, then ye shall know the truth. In fact, he says, if you continue my word, you shall be my disciples. You'll be learners. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Clean you up from the mess. How many times have we thought about Psalm 1? Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, washing. It's like turning on the washing machine when you get ready to go to bed. You know? And you're washing, and you're washing. And the thoughts of the God's word is going over and over and over and over and over and over. And that's what we're speaking. And he said, and he should be like a tree planted by rivers of water, brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hey, I want our time this fall to prosper. I tell you, it's going to prosper if we get the word of God in on this thing, in our hearts. Lastly, If we want to be clean vessels, we need to do some maintenance. I say maintenance, I said it that way on purpose. You don't do it once and then let it go. You know, when Christmas is over, you take all your fancy plates, you clean them up, and you put them in the cabinet. And when you get them out for the next fall, for the next Christmas, you know what you do? You clean them. Well, they were sitting in the cabinet all this time. I know. But you just never know. Maybe some critter went crawling around through there. We didn't know. Lord willing, not. And maybe nothing else, just the dust. You clean them off. We want to stay clean. I want to be ready and able to give the reason for the hope that's within me. If we're going to do that, we need to be clean every day. I told you, when I turned 13, my hair curled. My mom's did too. No, I didn't get that when I turned 13. Went great. No. Anyway, my hair curled. It just got curly. And I mean, it got so curly, I mean, it looked like I had a fro. It really did. In fact, I could stick a pencil in there and it would stay. I mean, I had it. And it was wiry, and no matter what you did, that's where it stayed. You know, you push it over here, and that's where it would stay. You know, just crazy, wiry stuff. And can you imagine if, and I have to keep it down. I gotta do stuff with it so it looks halfway decent. I kind of plaster it down, you know, and it's hard enough. It passes the code for a bicycle helmet. But anyway, it's almost hard. Otherwise, we'd be sticking up all over the place. Now, if I came in and my hair was sticking up all over the place, they would, "Preacher, what happened to you?" Well, I just didn't decide to comb my hair today. Now, I know there's people out there, that's what they're trying to look like, bedhead. I understand that's what they're doing. They look like that they just got out of bed. I don't know why they do that, but that's part of the style these days. I don't want to look like that. Well, one day I walk in, everything's fine. The next day it's not. And you say, you know, I had my neighbor wanting to bring him in one day to meet the preacher. Well, I don't know what day to bring him in, because I don't know what state the preacher's going to be in. Huh? And sometimes our attitudes are like that. You wake up, you don't know who you're waking up with next to in some mornings. You don't know where you go, whether this is the nice one or the mean one. We need to be what Christ wants us to be. So we're going to have fellowship with the Lord. We're going to be washing on a regular basis with the Word. And lastly, last question. Do I live in utter dependence upon God through prayer? I mean, it's the old basic thing. Prayer and Bible reading. Prayer and Bible reading. Prayer and Bible reading. Do I live in utter dependence upon God through prayer? Real prayer. It says, without God, I'm up a creek. Real prayer says this is not going to happen the way it's supposed to happen unless God gets in on it. Real prayer is begging and pleading, God, use me. Don't let me mess it up. Are we living in utter dependence upon God in prayer, or are we just going to do this ourselves? If we just do this ourselves, then we will just get what ourselves get. Real quick, turn to Luke. I know it's getting late. We'll get done here real quick. Luke chapter 11, verse 8. You know the story. The guy has somebody show up at his house in the middle of the night, and he doesn't have any bread to give him. And so he goes to the next door neighbor and says, I need you to help me. I need something to give to this guy. My friend's showing up here. I need to give him some bread. And he shows up at the next house, and the guy says, my kids are all in bed. Get out of here. I don't have time to do this. It's the middle of the night. And he says, no, please, 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 please. I don't have anything. I know you've got something. I know you've got what I need. In fact, what I need is bread for somebody else. That's what I'm talking about. I want to be a vessel to carry the bread to somebody else. And you've got what I need. All I've got is an empty vessel. But Lord, but my friend, you can fill that vessel so that friend has what they need. Luke 11:8 says this, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh, and really that asketh means ask and ask and ask and ask. And seek and seek and seek and seek. And knock and knock and knock and knock. If a son shall, verse 11, shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? My vessel will be prepared to be used when it's filled with the Holy Spirit that says, I cannot do this on my own flesh. God must do this through me. When's the last time you bowed your head and you prayed to God himself and the words came out of your mouth, I need your Holy Spirit. I need your Holy Spirit. So here I am. I surrender to you. Use me as you see fit. You'll start seeing God doing something. I'm talking about in the morning. I'm talking about when you get ready to, when the kids get up and you're going to have to meet them, get them out of the door for school. I'm talking about who you're going to meet at the grocery store. I'm talking about who you're going to meet at work. I'm talking about how you're going to deal with your spouse. I'm talking about whatever you do, do it wholly, wholeheartedly, but totally given to the Lord. He says, pray with importunity. What's that mean? Be settled that God is the need of for, has the need for your answer. He has the answer for your need, if we're going the right way. Be settled in your heart that God has the answer to your need. And he's the only one that has it. Be determined to have God's answer. Be reliant on the power of God. Be unrelenting. Be consistent. Beg God for his power. God will give it to you. You know what? We're too satisfied with what we can get on our own. If we can get this much on our own, just think what would happen if God got into it. But then we're back to where we started from. One person can get their heart right and do what the things of God, and they're going to be blessed. But what if the vast majority of a congregation is in one accord, in one place, and the power of God comes down? And we'll see something that was never seen around this area before. If we want to see God use us to do the miraculous in others, we must put our faith in him and not of us. Remember when they came down from Transfiguration and there was a man there, was a boy there was cast in the fire, and the man asked him to have his son, asked the disciples if they would heal him, and they couldn't do it. He says, I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came his disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. So I believe. Do you believe enough to ask God for the power? Do you believe enough to get on your knees, literally, and bow your heart and your life to God and beg him for his power in your life? I'm serious. I dare say there's relatively small amount of people who have gotten on their knees in the last 3 years. He says, why couldn't we do it? Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say on this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Well then, why? I mean, I have that much faith, do I? Well, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Do you have enough faith to get on your knees and ask God for his touch? Or you're going to say, well, nothing's going to happen anyway. I just feel silly getting on my knees. And the status quo stays. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing. John 14 says we need to know the word of God. And then we can pray in the will of God. And whatever we ask in his name, he'll do it. Now, we need to be clean vessels to be used of God. Whether it's during this revival or between now and then or afterwards, whatever we're doing. Listen, teachers, tomorrow morning, all those itchy little, scratchy little kids are going to come in, whether you want them to or not. You're going to have to make a difference in their life. And you can teach them all the other things, but you want to make a big difference. Get on your knees tonight. Say, I want to be clean vessels. I want to be a clean vessel of those kids. And when I deliver the bread of life, I want them to know that it tastes good. It's what I want. Our cleanliness or lack thereof can affect others. To have a clean vessel, we need to have a good maintenance program. It takes my vessel to be cleaned by the master cleaner, Jesus. Let him wash it frequently in the water of the word. And give my vessel to the master to use. Prayer is not so much about getting something from God, but giving ourselves to God. Let me say that again. Prayer is not so much about getting something from God, but giving ourselves to God, to be used of God, and then we'll have what we need. Let's begin our vessel maintenance program immediately. I want to be fully prepared to be used of the Master. Starting right now. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessing. And we're late again tonight. I'm sorry.